Welcome to Gambling with an Edge. And now, here are Bob and Richard.
Good afternoon. Welcome to Gambling with an Edge. I'm Bob Dancer.
And I'm Richard Munchkin.
Today is another Bob and Richard Answer Their Mail program. Keep them coming, either by leaving a question in the comment section under the link on gamblingwithanedge.com or sending it to us by email at gamblingwithanedge@gmail.com. I know the two addresses sound the same, but they're completely different. First thing we want to talk about is coronavirus. Not because we want to talk about coronavirus, but because we must. It's a terrible thing. We're taping this a week before it airs.
2 weeks, right?
We're taping this 2 weeks before it airs. So the situation may have changed. Currently in Las Vegas, the MGM has closed buffets. Most things are still going on as planned, except the Vegas Knights hockey game, because the season has been postponed for that.
Well, and a lot of the shows are canceled now, too.
Shows are canceled, and these things will change. And for the near future, changes are going to be happening more and more. And how long this is going to last, we don't know. Since we're taping it so far in advance, we're not the place to get latest breaking news. So this may be the last thing you hear before a trip, but this is 2 weeks old. So,
but currently, and we're just at the beginning of this, you know, things are on fire sale. So rooms are extremely cheap. Airline tickets are extremely cheap. But who knows how that'll change.
Yeah, if I were young and healthy, I would be a lot more inclined to take advantage of those than if I'm old and not in the best of shape, which is far closer to the truth. After 9/11, when people weren't sure whether or not it was safe to fly, a lot of casinos offered really great promotions to get people in the doors, basically bribed players. I'm somebody in general who accepts those bribes, so be on the lookout for those bribes. They can happen, although they're generally for people who leave their name and a way to get in touch with them. A lot of our listeners on Richard's side of the table play unrated, and of course, the casinos are not going to be sending you an email saying, come on in and play unrated. Speaking of Richard, somebody said they saw Richard at the blackjack ball, but it looked like he had lost a lot of weight and was even fasting at the blackjack ball. We want to know if he has a health issue.
No, knock wood. I'm very healthy right now. No, I just discovered intermittent fasting, and it really works for me, and it has a lot of health benefits. And if you're interested at all, just Google fasting and intermittent fasting. And I have a number of friends who have also been doing it. My partner, my longtime partner, Daryl, is at the lowest weight I've ever known him in his adult life. And, you know, that's also from fasting. So anyway, it's, as I say, it has a lot of health benefits. It's worked for me, works for him, works for a lot of people I know. That's all. So no, I'm not having any health issues other than trying to be healthier by not carrying as much weight.
Uh-huh. If his podcast partner decided to take that example, his life would probably be better too. All right.
You know, I have to say, one of the things that Daryl says, which I agree with, is whenever you try to lose weight on some kind of diet plan, you still are faced with the question of what to eat. But when you're fasting, you don't have to worry about any of those decisions. The answer is nothing. So, no decisions to make.
So now, I was at the same table as you at the blackjack ball, and Daryl, and you were both fasting. And did that give you a feeling of superiority towards those of us who were putting food into our mouth.
Oh, God, no. No. The only thing that was kind of a bummer was I couldn't drink because I was fasting. No, it doesn't affect how I view what other people are eating at all.
All right. So now we have a question about lost rebates. Someone says, assume a casino gives you a 20% cash back if you lose at least $1,000 in a session. In a 50-50 game, he would win $1,000, lose $800, which would make his edge 10%. If I minus how the house edge of, for example, roulette, 5.25%, then he has an edge of 4.75%. He wants to know if that's the correct way to estimate his edge, or is he off? Now, I'm not the best one to go through this math, but in general, when you're playing for a rebate, variance is your friend. That is, bet single numbers, where occasionally you win a lot, but usually just lose your bet, rather than the red, black, odd, even on roulette. These numbers let you double your money 18 over 38 times. Also, bet as much as you can every time. Betting 10 numbers at $100 each is a much better way to collect this than just betting $1 at a time, which you may never lose enough to get any money. Also note, betting single numbers, you're going to lose your money 80% of the time. Or you're going to lose 80% of your money. Is that losing $800 traumatic for you? If it is, don't play this promotion.
Okay, so yeah, I would just add that if you want to do a thought experiment, just calculate for yourself what would happen if you bet $1,000 on red or black and what your EV is, and then if you bet the same $1,000 straight up on one number, and your EV is going to be almost double if you bet it on one number than if you bet it on an even money proposition. So,
very good. Variance is your friend.
Right.
All right. So this is for Richard. Any recommendations for musicals or comedy show when I'm scouting or visiting Vegas?
Well, who knows with the coronavirus if there are any shows playing, but assuming that things eventually get back to normal, one show that I always recommend is an afternoon show at Harrah's, Mack King. He's a comedy magician. His show is cheap. You can often get twofer tickets just by walking in the door of the place. And his show is just great.
It's delightful.
Yeah, really good. So there's, for musicals, the Smith Center has a traveling Broadway series. So there are, you know, Broadway shows that go through the Smith Center periodically. You can always check them out. That's what I would say. There's a great website also called eatmoreart.com, or it might be eatmoreartlv.com. We'll put a link in the show notes. And that website has descriptions of pretty much everything in the arts that's going on around town, not just shows, but storytelling events, poetry events, art things, music things, dance. So it's a great website for looking for those kind of things.
Very good.
Oh, I should also add.
Yes.
If it's summertime, Super Summer Theater is just a tremendous venue. They always do musicals. It's an outdoor theater out at Spring Mountain Ranch. And definitely check that out if it's summertime when you're here.
And not too far from town, in St. George, Utah, they have an outdoor Shakespeare festival in the summer. And it's about 100 miles away from Las Vegas. But if you have a car, it's not a tough journey at all. And it's also outdoors.
And not all the shows are Shakespeare. They always have, you know, two or three Shakespeare shows, but they have some other shows as well.
Yes, they do. All right. Next question. I want to thank you for having such an awesome show. Thank you.
This is clearly a very intelligent listener.
Yeah, we like him already. Actually, it turns out we like her already. I've been listening for about 2 years, and thanks to Gambling with an Edge, I've learned enough to make $15,000 last year as a part-time AP. I'm currently learning how to count cards, but haven't made my first trip. Here are the questions. One, I have a job in a casino that I want to keep. What is the likelihood that a back-off could affect my job?
Well, I think that depends a lot on where it is you are working. I mean, in what venue, what state. I remember people back when I was a dealer, which was 40 years ago, people getting fired for getting barred counting cards in other casinos, just because back then there was kind of a good old boys network. And
you were with us or against us?
Yeah, exactly. Howard Grossman being a very famous example. But I don't really hear much about that anymore. So for simply card counting in a big place like Vegas or whatever, I really don't think you would have to worry about that happening. Although I wouldn't play in, if you're working at a Harrah's property, I mean a Caesars property, I wouldn't do it in another Caesars property because that might get you fired. I guess the real answer is I don't know, but I think it's fairly unlikely if you use some common sense.
You might want to check with your boss before you do it. If some bosses will say, that sounds great, let's do it together. And some will say, better not. Susie got in trouble for that last year. So as long as you're asking beforehand, there just seems little risk of that.
Yeah,
I doubt if
the question is, who are you going to ask? I mean, are they really the one in charge of making that decision? You probably can't get to that person.
All right. Number two is same person. If longevity in one place is a priority, is it better to play without a card or is it better to play with a card and have a much smaller bet spread and try to gain value through casino promotions instead?
Well, I would say if you've earned, first of all, congratulations. If you earned $15,000 as a part-time AP.
Without counting cards.
I think you're off to a great start. And I would probably say don't count cards. You know, I mean, I don't know what you're doing. I'm assuming it's some kind of machine play. But maybe stick to that. If you think that there is good mail to be had, then yeah, that might be a much better way to go without concern about getting backed off or any of those kind of problems.
Okay, next question, same lady. Do you have any advice specifically for female APs to maintain cover?
Well, you already have a built-in advantage. They're going to be less likely to think of you as an AP. If you're not counting cards, you're going to last a really, really long time. I think you would have to win an enormous amount of money before you'd ever get any heat if you're not counting cards. So, you know, if you can learn to play whole cards, then longevity would come from bringing in a big player and you just calling the plays, because it's going to take a very long time for them to pick that off, because they're just not going to think it's the girl sitting there and, you know, betting minimum. The other benefit, you know, that you have is women change their look all the time. They dye their hair and, you know, different fashion and stuff like that. So,
is it better for, now some of this you can't control, but is it better to be a prettier woman or a not so pretty woman?
I suspect that being a not so pretty woman is better because they're not going to remember you. You know, I think you can just be pretty much invisible if you're not betting a lot of money.
But if you're gorgeous, they will remember you, definitely.
Yeah.
All right. So.
I suspect. Again, I'm very pretty, but I'm not a woman, so I don't know for sure what.
Yeah, you're much prettier now you've lost that weight. Yeah.
Right.
Okay, and which online forums do you find useful? Thank you for giving us a chance to recommend blackjackapprenticeship.com. So which are the other forums, Richard?
So currently, I'm not active on the forums anymore. I was for many, many years. The ones I would recommend currently are Blackjack Apprenticeship, Blackjack the Forum, which is Norm Wattenberger runs that, and then the Blackjack Discord. The Blackjack Discord is, you know, I think something that you should probably be on and check out.
Okay, Stanford Wong's former site is now run by Joshua Chan.
I've heard that that has really gone downhill in terms of the number of people who are active on it. So I haven't looked at it in years, but I hear there's not a lot going on there anymore.
Okay. Here's a question that came up among friends. It's called a random trivia and not really AP related, but I've heard of pit bosses refusing bets for dealers because a win on that bet could result in a W-2G. If a dealer toke does result in a W-2G, how does that work? And now my response is W-2Gs are not for table game winnings. They're for slot, keno, and bingo winnings. So tokes at table games are not subject to W-2Gs. If a W-2G was issued for table game, it was done so incorrectly. Trying to explain that to a pit boss, good luck.
Well, they do have to fill out something if you hit a side bet that pays more than 600 to 1 or 300 to 1 or whatever it is. So that could be an issue.
But that's not a W-2G, is it?
You know what? I don't remember. I don't know if that's a W-2G or a...
1099.
But anyway, so that can happen. It could be an issue. I don't know what would happen in that case if the dealer, if it was a dealer bet. If the dealer, I mean, because if I made a side bet for a dealer on a, I mean, a toke on a side bet, I'm certainly not going to fill out the W-2G if he's getting the money, you know? So. Yeah, I don't know what would happen. It's an interesting question. Maybe one of our listeners knows.
All right. This next question is more directed to Richard. No offense, Bob. I'll get over it. In the next couple of years, my wife and I are planning to go to number one, Ireland, and number two, Australia. We plan on mixing sightseeing with some advantage play, whether it be card counting, hole carding, machines, or just boring poker. I was hoping for some insight from you, Richard, as I've heard you've done quite a bit of international travel and play. My main concerns are, one, best way to exchange U.S. dollars to Australian dollars. He already has enough euros for Ireland.
Just as a general rule, what I would say is I always exchange the money in the country when I get there. You get a horrible rate if you buy the currency here in the United States. So in some countries, you can buy it in the airport when you get there. Sometimes you only want to buy just a little bit and then get to a currency exchange or a bank to or the black market, depending on what the country is. Australia, I don't know specifically where the best place to change the money is, but I definitely would not buy it here in the U.S.
All right. Next question. What approaches do the casinos take in terms of will they bar me? Will they flyer me like in the United States? Do they use OSN or something like it? Or is that a U.S. thing only? And will they steal my money?
Yes, yes, no, yes, maybe. No. So, yes, they will back you off. Yes, they will flyer you. No, they do not use OSN, but there is an international thing that's kind of like OSN or Griffin or whatever. Some of these places do still have Griffin, surprisingly, but that still is a thing, and foreign countries, some of them still use it. But as I say, they have their own. Fortunately, last I heard, the U.S. does not pay much attention to the foreign things for some reason. Maybe it's arrogance. They don't put much stock in what's coming from the other countries. But so, like, if you get backed off in somewhere in Ireland, you're probably going to not be able to get into anywhere in the UK. And Australia, that also could easily happen. You get backed off in one casino in Australia, and there's a flyer in all the casinos in Australia. And then what was the last question? Oh, will they steal your money? Not in Australia or Ireland. You know, you go somewhere weird, you know, Cambodia, maybe, you know, especially if it's some illegal underground casino.
All right. Do you have any tourist site information on Ireland or Australia, or should they go to another site for that?
Yeah, I'm not the one to ask for that.
All right. He wants to know, for Australia, flying into Brisbane and hit casino all along the east coast down to Melbourne, or vice versa, is that a good plan?
That I don't know. I have not been to Australia. It's one of those countries I did not get to yet. So, I don't know.
Okay. Someone would like to know if there are craps teams similar to blackjack teams. If they are, how would they be structured, and would they get banned if discovered?
Well, I have heard about these craps teams. I'm very skeptical that they actually are playing a winning game, but I have heard there are guys who go out and do this all together, and certainly they would do it when they used to hold those Golden Touch seminars and stuff. How are they structured? I have no idea. I would think everybody would just bet their own money, but who knows how they may have structured it. Will they get barred? Absolutely, they'll get barred, even if they're not winning players. You can go back and listen to our episode with Casey, where he got barred in a number of places trying to dice control, even though he was not a winning player. And it took a smart casino operator the win to say, come here, we'll let you play all the craps you want. And he lost almost $1 million after having won it at other casinos. So, yes, you will get backed off. If you win enough money at anything, you will get backed off. Whether you have an edge or not, you will get backed off at slot machines. You will get backed off at Keno. You will get backed off at roulette. It does not matter what the game is. If you start winning at it, you can get backed off.
Very good. Next question. Someone played 90 minutes at the Borgata, Atlantic City, 9-6, jacks or better, quarter machine. Did well, finished ahead, but no royal. Earned no points, comps, nothing. Player's card was in the machine and active. As I checked my account, and it showed I was physically present playing, just 0 points. Borgata is apparently saying zero comps for a full pay machine, and there are very few of them. 9-6 jacks or better returns 99.5%. Then he questioned me, what would I do here? Would I continue playing no slot club or forget it, since the game has a negative EV by about 0.5%?
I can guess your answer.
Bet you can't guess all of it. The Borgata is part of the M Life system. I'm not an expert in that system, as they label me a competent player and I don't receive sufficient benefits to make it worth my while. 9-6, if 9-6 jacks truly gives no benefits, the game is unplayable. That part Richard could correctly predict. If I don't have an advantage, I'm not interested. But Borgata previously was part owned by the Boyd Group, and their B Connected system, you do not get benefits until you get to the sapphire level. You earn tier credits, but until you have enough tier credits to get to sapphire level, which takes a considerable amount of play, you don't get any benefits. I don't know if that's what happened on here. At Boyd, you need to play enough video. You earn tier credits basically at a rate so that in 750 points, 750 tier credits, you will have lost between $300 and $400. So they gear the tier credits based on the accurate theoretical of the machine. So if you're playing a 99.8% game at some places, it takes a whole lot to get one tier credit. If you're playing a 96% game, it doesn't take much to get tier credit at all. So they gear it towards you losing $300 or $400 to get up to sapphire. And once you're sapphire, then you're eligible for their point multipliers. It is possible something like that is happening here, where you have to meet a threshold of play and you're getting tier credits of some sort, which are not comp dollars, which are not reward credits. But once you get a sufficient number of tier credits, you will get some of the other. Whether that's happening here or not, I don't know, but it's at least a possibility.
Well, my first thought was, why didn't you go to the booth and ask? I mean, you know, then you would know the answer to this question, and right?
I'm going to dispute that. Most boothlings have no clue as to what's going on, especially on the more complicated systems. They will shrug and says, "Well, every machine is different. It's all up to the machine. They don't really tell us."
Yeah, I would keep asking for more people until I got an answer to the question. There has to be somebody who knows, you know.
Yeah,
or I would at least make an effort.
All right.
By the way, if that's true, that you have to give them, let's say it's $350 in EV before you get any benefit at all, you'd be much better off putting it in a high Theo slot machine. I mean, either way, you're having to give them $350 in EV, right? So get it over with quick in a slot machine. It'll make you look like a more valuable player to them. And you get to the point where you can get benefits. I mean, if you've decided that the place is worth playing in the future once you get the benefits.
That's interesting. And in slots, it doesn't work that way. In slots, you get one Theo point, one tier credit for every $5 coin in. So you can predict how much it will take you in terms of dollars coin in. If you're accurate at judging which are the low Theo slot machines, such as Must Hit Buys or some such, you can get there much quicker. But it is not the $350 lost to get to Sapphire is for video poker only.
Ah, okay.
All right. Somebody has a question about a local casino with 9-5 double-double bonus with a progressive on the royal flush. And the question is, how high does a jackpot have to be in order to play? And two, is it worth the tax consequences to play with a jackpot of over $1,200? Okay, so clearly this is a quarter machine. So I'll answer the question with a lot of other questions. Hopefully you'll be able to figure things out better once you've dealt with the situation. The game starts out at 97.87. Every $100 the progressive goes up a little over, goes up over $1,000, adds about 0.135%. To be break even, it takes the royal of about $1,900 to do that. Keep in mind that break even is not enough for you to make money. Does a slot club give you anything worthwhile? Free play, cashback, mailers. Count food if you want, if getting food is important to you. If you play enough in Vegas, you'll get more food than you can possibly consume. If the slot club gives you 0.5% in benefits, break even is about $1,500 rather than $1,900. You want to know how fast the meter rises. Without going into details here, a 2% meter is going to is worth getting on way early than a 0.5% meter. You can find out how fast the meter is going by waiting until you're the only player on the machine, playing $10, and see how fast the meter goes up. If it goes up 10 cents, it's a 1% meter. Are there other meters going? Perhaps for aces with a kicker? Maybe others. Each of these meters adds value. On the $1,200 threshold for W2Gs, if you're playing quarter progressives, you're going to get several W2Gs. This definitely affects your tax situation. For non-professionals, W2Gs are handled differently today than they were a few years ago. Every case is different. See your tax advisor.
And it definitely depends on what state you're in, because some states don't let you write your losses off against your wins.
Yeah, here they're playing in Nevada, but the but they don't have to be a Nevada resident. And Richard has just made our answer more generalized, which is good. The next question has to do with player's card. When pit bosses look at your player's card at the blackjack table, what information pops up? For example, if I'm using my dad's player's card as a cover or to get him comps without giving up info, would his age come up when the pit bot goes to look at him in the system? If so, I assume at that point they would not allow me to use his card.
Right. I believe your date of birth pops up. So, yes, they might pick you off as using the wrong card. But if it is your dad, you have the same last name, presumably, and if they pick you off, you could go, oh, that's my dad's card. Sorry, I thought I would, you know, I thought I you know what I mean? You have plausible deniability in that case.
But the same last name might not be good if you trying to keep your last name a secret.
Yeah, I thought he was just trying to get comps for his dad.
Okay. It says, furthermore, what is the legality around using fake ID at a casino?
So, again, every state is different. Bob Nersessian has said on this show a number of times that in Nevada, it is a felony to use a fake Nevada driver's license, but not illegal to use a fake driver's license from other states. That does not mean that you may not get arrested for it and spend some time in jail. Now, they may end up dropping the charges, but realize that if you're using a fake driver's license from another state, you could easily get arrested and spend some time in jail. And you absolutely do not want to try to get any kind of a fake passport, because that is a serious, serious crime.
Yes. Someone wants to know if they heard correctly on the program that Richard Munchkin has been barred from entering the contest at the blackjack ball because he wins too much. This group of advantaged gamblers who decry being barred from casinos because they supposedly win too much bars a member because he wins too much? This hypocrisy boggles the mind.
Well, first of all, I don't decry being barred from casinos because, to me, it's just a fact of doing business. That's the nature of the business. Second of all, both James Grosjean and I are not allowed to compete because we won too many times. That's true. I don't have a problem with that at all. And now I couldn't compete anyway, and neither could James, because we both assist Max in coming up with the questions. So, you know, we can't design the test and then take it as well. So, yeah, I don't see any problem with it at all.
Now, I also am barred because I actually submit more questions than either of those two. But then I don't have the blackjack skills they do. One of the interesting, when I asked Richard a few years ago whether they were considering a handicap system such as for every time you've won the contest, you get deducted 1 point. So if you won three times, which is true for both James and Richard, they would start with a -3 score. If they still win, well, next year they'll start with a -4. Sooner or later, they're going to come to a point where they cannot possibly win anymore. And so that sounded like a pretty good deal to me. And Richard goes, he doesn't really care. He'd rather just spend his time visiting with his friends than really concentrating on the contest. Fine, so I dropped it. Well, a few years ago, Don Johnson who is a member of the Blackjack Hall of Fame, has a sponsorship relationship with Bel Air Champagne. And he gives these nice big bottles of champagne, nicely engraved, to the winner of the Blackjack Ball.
Yeah, these contest. Are 15-liter Nebuchadnezzar bottles. They're about 3 feet tall.
And so Richard goes, you know, I would kind of like to win one of those.
I would love one of those bottles. You know, I mean, we used to get these little trophies, you know, that you put on a shelf somewhere. It would be nice to have one of those bottles.
So shall we try to lobby for the, it doesn't matter because you're going to be helping Max. Max has health issues and he's going to need more help in the future rather than less.
Yeah.
So that's not going to happen. All right. Someone has a question regarding playing blackjack under an alias assumed name versus playing in his real name. He counts cards and always plays unrated as he has a top bet of 2x200. But he's worried when his bankroll grows and his top bets increase, it may be worthwhile for his longevity to play rated. He's young, look around my age, 25 years old, so he does get carded somewhat frequently, but usually only at the table by the dealer in the pit bot, so never obtains my ID. I want to have a long playing life, so as long as the game is beatable, but I'm unsure about using my real name since I'm so young and I want to stay out of OSN, Biometrica, etc. Is the process of obtaining an alias or assumed name seems to differ by state. Is this a worthwhile endeavor to protect my real name long term? I hope I can get a good opinion from you guys. Thanks again.
So first of all, let me tell you, let me gaze into my crystal ball and tell you what the future holds.
Uh-huh.
One of these days, you're going to get barred for counting cards. And the surveillance operator is going to go back in the tape to that time when you showed the dealer your ID, and he's going to zoom in on it, and he is going to have all of your real information. So they are going to get your real information whether you give it to them or not, if you're showing your ID because of age. That being said, every professional player, or almost every professional player, ultimately makes more money after they've been put in OSN and Biometrica, et cetera, because if they continue playing, I mean, you just, time is on your side. It is not the end of the world. Everybody ends up in the databases eventually. And, you know, most professionals just keep on playing. And it really, it's a minor irritant at best. It's just not something to really, I mean, I wouldn't give it up. I wouldn't just start playing rated. I disagree as your stakes go up that you have to play rated. You know, Tommy Hyland still plays all the time. He'll bet thousands of dollars and he doesn't play rated. So, that idea that you have to play rated if you're going to bet a lot of money is not true. So don't worry about the database. Eventually it's going to happen. Don't make it easy on them, but And eventually, you may want to have a legal name change.
I just learned from Richard's answers why I don't make a lot of money playing blackjack. The reason is I'm not in the OSN database. So that's why I haven't been making money playing blackjack. The fact that I'm not playing has nothing to do with it. I'm not an OSN, so that's why I'm not making money. And with that bit of trivia, we are now going to take some commercials. The South Point has more than 10,000 games, returning more than 99%. This is more than anyone else has. In March, the promotion is for players who get mailers with free play, and it's called Free Play with a Kicker. Pick up your usual mailer Monday, Tuesday, or Wednesday, and if you do, you receive the same amount to be picked up Friday or Saturday. Pick up all 8 of these, and on Monday, March 30th, you will get a double free play amount. Predicted.org is a place where you can place small bets on the occurrence of various political events. Politics is interesting. If you're somebody who agrees to that and has strong opinions as to what the future holds, certainly get involved. Gambling with an Edge listeners receive a one-time offer of a deposit match up to $20 at predicted.org/promo/edge. You must play the money through once and cannot withdraw it for 30 days. VideoPoker.com is the best place to play lots of games. If you sign up for the Gold membership, $8.95 a month or $79.95 a year, this allows you to get correction on most of the games. An additional membership, the Pro membership, is sold separately at $6.95 a month or $49.95 a year. Listeners can play 1,000 hands for free to try it out at videopoker.com/GWAE. The biggest advantage of this is that it is video poker software that corrects you on both Quick Quads and Ultimate X. There are other games as well, though you can get correction, which you cannot get on other sites. And now, back to the Bob and Richard questions. Someone wants to know if there are any ways to improve your chances at a ticket raffle drawing. I've heard some people crumple the ticket and then unfold it. Assuming you have multiple tickets, is it better to disperse them or put them all in one spot? I suspect I've entered more of these drawings than Richard has.
Yeah, you've entered many, many more than I have.
I crumple. Or actually make sharp creases. Whether it works or not, the theory is that it creates some air around your ticket to make it more likely to be picked up. It's partly is it depends on who's going to be doing the drawing. If it's a weekly drawing and you know that George is always going to be drawing, there are some Georges who make it a point never to pick a crumpled ticket. It's useful to know that. If it's a random person, it's useful to put your tickets in at the very end if the drum is all the way full, so they don't get mixed very much, because frequently the people don't dig very deeply. Whether they're all, put them all in at once or disperse, people have their own theories. There have been a lot of cheating situations where the picker instructs his stooges to fold them in a particular way. If you can pick this off, well, you fold your tickets in exactly the same way to try to get in on the ripoff that's taking place. All right. Someone, a young player, says he's only 24, has only been to casinos during good economies. In your experience, do casinos tend to tighten up during poor economies or loosen up, both in terms of comps and or promotions?
Well, we talked about this earlier, that in bad times, they loosen up to get people in the door. So,
and they also, if the tables are only half full compared to what the usual are, they can spend more time watching the players that are there. So I'm guessing you're going to be picked off more at when the tables are only half as busy as they normally are.
That's true. So right now, with the coronavirus going on, it's a bad time to be a table game player, but a good time to be a video poker or a slot player would be my guess.
Yes. Although I have not seen any video poker promotions so far that seem to be inordinately generous. It seems to be pretty much normal.
Right, but so we're taping this on the 13th, and we're at the very beginning of this. So,
All right. The next is also a video poker question. He's searching VP Free 2 for Las Vegas casinos that have Jokers Wild, full pay or other, and they seem to have disappeared from everybody's inventory. Is there a reason for this? Well, starting with my pet peeve, there's no S in Joker Wild. There's the games definitely still exist in Las Vegas, but not in very good pay schedules. Second, VP Free 2 is managed by volunteers. Since Joker Wild is an obscure game these days, many of the people going through the casinos to count the games aren't familiar with what's a good version and what's a bad one, so they just don't write it down.
Got to do your own scouting.
Yeah, this next question, I found out something very interesting about Richard that I didn't know.
Oh, I can't wait. It says, I gained weight and... No, go ahead.
It says, this person is a longtime craps player and has a question for Richard because he's a resident dice player of the group about building a gambling bankroll. As a don't better, I lay odds against all the don't numbers and hedge against even don't numbers with the hard way. Lately, I've been not using hard ways as a hedge and seem to be doing better than I should. My feeling is that with an established don't number, I should lay full odds against. Is this strategy correct? Thanks in advance for your help.
Well, you're doing better because hard ways are horrible bets with really high house edges. So you never want to bet the hard ways. This idea about hedging is nonsense. So every bet has a negative expectation. And you want to
not the laying full odds.
Not the laying full odds. So any odds bet, it matters not whether you take it or don't take it, because there's no edge for you or against you. So all it's going to add is variance to your result. So, you know, if you want to play craps, then betting the don't pass and the don't come are the best bets you can make. And if you want extra action, then put it on the lay the odds. Forget about hedging. Forget about any of the bets in the center of the table.
Well, that the last paragraph that Richard said, I totally agree with. The one I disagree with was on the laying or taking odds. It doesn't affect anything. And that depends on your point of view. If you have a $10 pass line bet and it's a and you lay $50 behind it if at a place where it allows it, that $50 you laid has zero EV. You're going to get fair odds on the zero EV. However, if you're a person who needs to satisfy your itch, a bet of about $50, because $10 just seems too small, and $50 seems about the right size for someone of your stature, then putting most of that on a zero EV bet, or zero negative EV bet, is a smart play. Because you can get this sizable bet with at no EV cost to satisfy your itch. Whereas if you just do it strictly on pass line, it costs you quite a bit extra to pay $50 on the pass line instead of $10 on the pass line. All right. Next question is about video poker machines. Do they give different theoretical losses depending on the game chosen? Or does each machine have a default theoretical value that the card reader reads? And this depends on the software the casino is using and whether or not the casino is using all the bells and whistles provided on the software. On a casino like the South Point, they have 20,000 video poker games, but a lot of them sometimes are 200 on each on a specific machine. It takes an awful lot of work to enter in a correct theoretical for each game. It is much, much simpler to do it at the machine level. Most casinos do it at the machine level. When I'm playing, I am assuming the casinos are doing it at the machine level. What I mean by this, if I'm playing let's say I'm playing 9-6 jacks, which is a 0.5% house edge. If I'm playing on a standalone machine, then where that Jack's or Better game is the only game on there, I assume that has the correct theoretical, which means the house has a 0.5% advantage, and if I'm playing against something with the correct theoretical, I'm not getting an edge. But if I can play that game on a box where they have 100 other games and the 96 Jack is the loosest, then sometimes they will have the average return for all the games on the box. And so if I'm playing the loosest game, then I will be getting more benefits than if they could measure it accurately. Now, are they doing that or not? I'm not sure. But it costs me nothing if I'm wrong. And if I'm right, I'm getting better benefits. So that's why I do it. All right. So we still have lots more questions. So you're going to hear one of these programs again in the near future. We have plenty of room for more. So give your questions at gamblingwithanedge.com or gamblingwithanedge@gmail.com. So at the end of our show, we have a recommended. So I'm going to do a negative recommended. And that was a month or two, less than a month ago, we heard that the Moth is moving to Las Vegas, and which is storytelling. And both Richard and I were real thrilled by this, planning our stories for April 29th. We heard today when we're taping this that it's been canceled or postponed due to the coronavirus. So those of you who are planning a special trip on April 29th to hear Richard and me perform at the Moth.
There's no guarantee that you get to perform. You throw your name in a hat and they draw names. So
that's true. So that will be canceled. So Richard, do you have a recommended for today?
Yeah, I switched browsers. So for a long time, for years, I've been using Chrome, but Chrome is notoriously a memory hog. And so I've switched to a browser called Brave. And what I like about it is it blocks the advertising on sites. Now sometimes because of that, some sites don't work as well, but you can sort of allow things. And but anyway, I've switched to this browser called Brave. The other thing I like about it is you can open, if you open an incognito tab, you can choose to open one with Tor, which basically is as private as you can get. So anyway, that's my recommendation. It's a browser called Brave, and we'll have a link in the show notes.
Is it a free browser to use?
Yeah, it's free.
So you get the ads gone away for free?
Yep.
Sounds like there has to be a catch in there somewhere.
Other than the only catch is that some websites will not load properly because you're blocking all the ads and stuff. So.
Maybe you don't want those websites anyway.
Maybe.
Very good. So thank you, Richard. Go out and hit lots of royal flushes, everybody. Good day.